Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. We're also pleased here to have on the program, once again, Dr. Robert Bochak. He's a pediatrician and is on this program once a month. So it's Thursday, the 10 o'clock hour. We decided a long time ago that this would be, children's health would be one of those subjects where people would always have questions. And you can certainly call in here and talk with the doctor. We've talked about a lot of different things here, about all manner of wellness and illness, about kids who have sleep problems and who are picky eaters. And we've talked about dealing with little emergencies, and we've talked about, well, just about everything you can imagine. Anything you could think of talking about with a pediatrician is certainly fine here, and I know that he would do his best to give you an answer and help you out. All you have to do is call us here in Champaign-Urbana. 333-9455 is the number. We also do have a toll-free line, and that is good anywhere that you can hear us. 800-222-9455. So at any point here, you have questions, you give us a call. Welcome back.
Well, good morning. It's good to be back.
So how's your summer going?
It's hot. What is
yeah.
that? Hot, wet summer.
Yep.
Which,
yes.
So, yeah.
So?
Enjoy books. Yeah. The usual precautions about playing outside in the heat. Usual cautions about sunburn and sunblocks. Usual cautions about good water sources. Excuse me. I suppose West Nile virus, yeah, birds are being reported with West Nile virus, and I think birds are being reported because it's a bird disease, basically. But people occasionally get in the way.
Mm-hmm. They get bitten by the mosquitoes too.
Yeah. So do your best around the house to eliminate the mosquito breeding sources. If you have tire swings, maybe drill a hole in the bottom so they drain out, and watch where your gutters drain and that sort of stuff. And use DEET when you're DEET on yourself, an insect repellent product, preferably containing DEET, because that's probably most effective on yourself and on your children. And again, a little dab will do you. DEET can be a neurotoxin. You about have to bathe in this stuff. And we worry more, as we've talked in the past, about the skin of younger children being more penetrable mm-hmm. to chemicals. Mm-hmm. So particularly for babies, DEET's okay, but maybe a little bit dabbed on their clothing and that sort of stuff. And again, pick your times outside. These are most active in the evening, so maybe that's the time when you want to, you know, as it starts to get dark, maybe that's time to go in. Besides that, it's hot out there and everybody wants to go in their air conditioning. Anyway,
yeah.
Just summer precaution time.
Okay.
Sunblock, insect repellents. Pick your times a day, and don't. School's out, but don't ignore. Yeah, help keep your children's skills up, by reading skills up, and that by having them read during the summer.
Mm-hmm. I think it was just recently. Ann Tice was here. She's a dermatologist. And she's one of the – there's three dermatologists. We kind of rotate them, and we try to have them on a couple times during the year. And we were talking about the issue of sun exposure. And she – I think she said that something like children under six should really not be exposed to the sun at all, hardly. Not under six. Under 6 months.
Oh.
Since the really newborns, you generally should say, you know, just – you know, because the issue came up of sunscreen in kids, and she said for children that young, that should not be an issue pretty much because you really don't want them to get really
serious. I think there's no approved effective sunscreen for under 6 months of age, which may be another reason Dr. Tice talked about that. But, yeah, I think, you know, they talk about blistering. If you've had one blistering sunburn in your lifetime, you're subject to melanoma and skin cancer, and you say, well, but who hadn't had that? And to a certain extent, that's right. Probably everybody's had one, but certainly we want to. I think the sun has an additive effect. The more exposure you have to it. I'm not sure I believe in that one blistering sunburn that you should lay awake at night worrying about skin cancer or that. But I think certainly we should not be sun worshippers. We shouldn't be out there because in addition to causing skin cancer, I'm sure Dr. Tice talked about, it just kind of ages the skin.
Yeah.
And UVA and UVB, UVs are just to be avoided as far as skin health is concerned.
Okay. Well, so that's the bottom line is use your sunscreen and make sure the kids are wearing sunscreen and the best you can.
Yeah.
Then if you can also limit the time that you're exposed to the most intense rays, which will also be the hottest part of the day anyway, so that you might want to, kind of watch that. That's the sort of I don't know, what is it they say between...
Ed Kieser talks about, I think, 10 a.m. and 4 p.m.
Yeah. The time when the sun is going to be the most most overhead, that's the most direct, you're getting the most exposure. So maybe it's a good time to, during those times, just to think about, if you can, something else to do and not be out there. And if you are, take the right precautions.
And your six-month-old can be out and enjoy the nice weather with you. Just the sunscreen you use is an umbrella or, physical barrier.
Okay. And as far as hydration goes?
Water.
Just water. The best thing, plenty of water.
Water.
Yeah.
The sports drinks, there's nothing wrong with them, but there's nothing particularly right with them that I can see either in water. And, the trace elements, the chemicals you lose, the sodium and that sort of stuff that you lose in perspiration, which indeed you lose minimal amounts of, will be replaced by lunch and dinner and breakfast and... It'll be replaced by others.
So that's in those sports drinks, in addition to water, and I suppose that there is some sugar or something to make them taste a little bit sweet. It's just little bits of those electrolytes, those things that you do lose some of in your perspiration. And the idea is that it's supposed to replace that.
Replace that. And generally, again, that's not necessary.
Yeah. Okay.
And the salt tablets that you can buy that you just swallow whole. You just don't need.
Okay.
And I suppose if you're older and have hypertension, maybe, that salt needs to be, if you're on a low-salt diet, that salt needs to be counted in there, and then it gets confusing to count it in there, so forget it. Don't take it.
Okay. We're talking here about this morning about children's health, and certainly open to whatever questions you might have. Our guest is Dr. Robert Bojek. He's a pediatrician. He visits with us every month. It's always on a Thursday in the 10 o'clock hour. So if you'd like to call in, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us around Illinois, Indiana, and that's 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Recently, I've gotten a catalog that sells outdoor stuff and outdoor clothing, and one of the things that they have is now they have a line of clothing that they say has insect repellent in it, and I'm not really sure what it is or how that works, but I kind of wonder about that, whether that's okay or not. And do you have any feelings about
I haven't seen anything negative about it in the literature that it's a carcinogen or anything like that. I guess my wonder about that stuff would be how many washings does that go through and still exist. So I guess I'd still probably use a little.
I think they do say that, if I remember, that it's good for, 30 washings or 20 washings. But that is true. Eventually that stuff's going to wash out, and then you're just going to have a shirt.
Yeah.
And it's not going to scare the mosquitoes anymore. You still may have a shirt, but it's not going to have that desired effect.
And I think, a lot of people are going to be going on vacation. They're going to be heading to Lyme disease territory. And again, the DEET tends to ward off the deer ticks too. And I think the other caution there is if you're walking in fields and that grass, long pants are probably appropriate. Maybe tuck your pants in the top of your socks, maybe long sleeves, and check yourself afterwards for any ticks on your skin. The only problem I have with that is I understand these ticks are very, very small and very, very hard to see. So, again, prevention is the best way to go. I guess, again, Lyme disease is, you hear about all the horror stories, the arthritis that lasts forever, the cardiac effects of that, and, again, awful lot of people in the endemic areas are infected by Lyme disease, but the minority of them get the cardiac manifestations or the joint pains and that sort of thing. So, you know, again, this is an animal disease that humans occasionally get in the way of. And for the most part, these serious complications, the bad complications, are quite rare.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's probably fairly well known where those areas are where we think that we have a concentration of the deer ticks.
Yeah.
So at least you should be able to know before you go there, is this a place where I need to worry or is it not? And if it is, then I guess you just need to take the right precautions. This does produce a kind of a characteristic rash after you get bit, but the problem is
50% of the time or something like that.
And then it's also going to happen. I don't know how long it takes for that to develop, so I'm not sure how helpful that is knowing that, except then maybe if that happens and then you get the accompanying sort of flu-like symptoms, then maybe at that point you'd say, well, we should get this checked out, and then you can go and you can get the treatment.
And it is a treatable disease, and easily treatable disease, and an inexpensively treatable disease. Just that the oral antibiotics will do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly the earlier you catch it, you've got small chances of the complications, the arthritis and that, but the earlier you catch it, you can reduce these chances to virtually zero. So, yeah, if you have this characteristic rash, if you don't, yeah. And again, the rash isn't there all the time, but if you have a character, if you've been in an endemic area, which is, I understand it's creeping into Illinois, so northern Illinois, I don't think there's, I suppose it's in central, but it's hard to get around here. But northern Illinois, certainly Wisconsin and Minnesota and Michigan, that has it.
Yeah. And it's as I read about it, the rash, it's supposed to look like a bullseye.
Yes. It doesn't. I think I've seen it once because this is Central Illinois. I suppose you could say it's somewhat bullseye like, but it's. I think if I ever see it again, if I've seen it once, it's in my head. And,
yeah.
But it's an it starts as a red spot and it expands and the center tends to clear. And I think that's why they call it a bullseye.
Yeah.
And it can get quite large. It can get inches across.
Okay. Well, that's something to keep in mind, especially, as we say, though, especially if you know that you're going to a place where they have a lot of deer and they have the deer ticks. Walking around Champaign-Urbana, you're probably
okay.
Probably okay. We have a caller here, and others, again, are welcome. 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. Caller here is in Aurora, line number 4. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning, Dr.
Good morning.
I just wanted to tell you a very nice part of my newest 12-year-old granddaughter. We went to visit relatives in New York and the area. And she just did beautifully. She just fit in. She never did anything wrong. Not that I was looking, but she just was just like a family member. She just fit in beautifully, and everybody was so impressed with her. And it's so nice to be able to say that. And in fact, we went to visit. I am very fortunate. I have a friend that has a house a half a block from the Atlantic Ocean, and I just wanted my granddaughters to see the ocean. And my friends let us stay at her house for 2 days, and she says to the granddaughter, "Yes, you can go in my ocean." And then when the granddaughter came back, she said, "And now it's my ocean, too." It was just very, very, very nice. And I just wanted to tell you a happy part to this story.
You know, I sincerely thank you for calling because, when you first told me about this, I think we shared some anxieties about what potential problems there were. And I'm so glad that it's working out well. And I'm so glad that this gal, this young lady, thinks that being part of a family is just wonderful.
I still can't. I just can't believe her. You know, I believe her, but that this child should come out of the situation she was in and is still in to some extent. she very nicely brought all her family members. They went to Ellis Island, and she very nicely brought all her family members a gifts. And I just thought, you just are remarkable. She's just a remarkable, remarkable human being. And I'm glad my daughter, you know, thought that she could take her into the family and that it would work out. And I think my granddaughter is learning a lot from her. I think she's learning a lot from her. So it's a very good situation. And I kind of hope and pray it stays that way. So thank you much for your help.
Well, thank you for calling. You know, your first granddaughter, your biologic granddaughter was an only child, and I have this personal thing about being an only child that it's unfair because you've got to raise two parents, and I think that's an awful load for a kid. So I think, kids deserve siblings, and now she's got a sibling, if you will, and I think that's great, and I'm really glad that it's working out so well for everybody, and I'm glad that this other child has said family is good. Being in a situation of unconditional love is good, and I think, you know, I think that's what parenting's all about. What do you need a PhD to be a parent? No. Do you need Is there a certain book that you need to read and you need to follow? No. But I think what kids need is the unconditional love. I love you because you're my child. Not because you get A's, although, I certainly will reward A's and I'll reward performance and I'll reward your participation in athletics and that sort of stuff. But I love you just because you're my child and you're part of the family. And I think the other thing, I keep hearing so much from teachers that the kids are changed in school, and I think part of love and this unconditional love of our children includes limits that we need to, at an early age, establish rules that they have to live on. And I think it's not that children are our possessions. We don't own them. We can't. What are we do? What's the object of kids? And every time I say this, I get usually somebody says, "What are you talking about?" But I think what do we want from our children? We want our children to give us grandchildren. We're raising our children to be successful in life. We're raising our children to be educated and get a career and be productive members of society. And I think there's a biologic drive to find a mate. So we're raising them. We're establishing values in them. So when they find a mate, they find a good, responsible mate, somebody we want to welcome into our family. Hopefully, someday they'll go on and honor their biologic drive and we'll be grandparents. But I think, what we want is we want to raise our children responsibly so they become responsible adults and functioning members of society, productive members of society. And I think unconditional love is a very important part of that. And I think the early onset of teaching them limits and rules and how you behave in society is very important.
Well, and I thank you, too.
All right. Well, thanks.
Bye-bye.
We are getting close to the midpoint here of this hour of Focus 580. Dr. Robert Bocek is our guest. He's a pediatrician, and he's on the program every month. We always do these programs on a Thursday, the 10 o'clock hour, to give you a wide-open opportunity to ask questions about children's health. 333-9455, that's for Champaign-Urbana, and toll-free, 800-222-9455. I'm always on the lookout for medical news to things that we can talk about. And here's something I've come across that I think is interesting. And it is that, there's obviously a lot of concern about kids using drugs, illegal ones mostly. But here's something that's just, I've just come across. And it was the results of a study that was done apparently by an association with doctors who are interested in headaches. And what it is that according to this study is that 1 in 5 kids, especially girls, are excessively taking non-prescription painkillers. And the result can be chronic headaches, and you get gastrointestinal problems, and you can have kidney problems and all kinds of stuff like that. And according to the person mentioned in the study is a physician who is at he's director of the Pediatric Adolescent Headache Clinic at Children's Hospital at in Cleveland. He says, I've been astounded by the large numbers of kids using over-the-counter medications 5 or 6 times a week, sometimes 15 to 20 times a week. And what's concerns him even most, he says, is that these children are not telling their parents that they're taking these medicines, and that he thinks that they do indeed feel it's not gratuitous, that somehow they do feel a lot of stress. Maybe they do feel that they have headaches. A lot of that apparently is related to school. And this one is a new one on me.
I read that article. It was a new one on me, too. But, you know, I think to go to allergies, we've known about rhinitis medicamentosa. You use too many decongestant nasal sprays, and they work for a while, and then they make things worse instead of better. And maybe that's something like this that we're resetting our pain threshold with these medications somehow. And yes, certainly the ibuprofens have the property like aspirin of irritating stomach lining. So I think, parents need to be aware of what's going on with their kids and what they're using and why they're using it for. And I think this article also said the first thing these doctors do is to make sure that the headache is just a headache as opposed to, brain tumor causing headache or something like that. And then, let's deal with the stress or whatever and see if we can relieve that somehow or at least treat it with, parent counseling, parent attention, or maybe involvement of another kind of counseling service to see if we can help these kids deal with these things a little bit better. But, medicines, you pay a price for them other than what you pay at the pharmacy. There's side effects to them, and overuse of, I think, just because they're over the counter doesn't mean that they're harmless.
They're harmless. Exactly. That if used as directed, that's okay. But if you particularly, I think it's true with the medicines like Tylenol, acetaminophen. You can if you take lots and lots of it, then you can get into liver
and kidney.
Exactly. So that probably would be a reason to be concerned. Maybe some parent, if you're going through your kid's stuff and you find a big bottle of Tylenol, maybe you wouldn't think, that's okay. We've got Tylenol in the medicine chest. If they have a headache, that's okay. But maybe it'd be a good idea to just try to check, how much of this are you taking and why are you taking it and, what's going on?
Which goes along with listen to your kids. And, tune into your kids and see what's going on with them as best you can. They're entitled to secrets, and I think certainly as they get older, the teenagers are going to have more things they don't want to discuss with you. But I think, pay attention.
Yeah, all right. We have some callers here. Let's go. We have somebody on a cell phone. We'll go there. Line 2. Hello?
Hello.
Yes.
Yes. I just wanted to say that 30 years ago, when I lived in New Orleans, my daughter got bitten by something and developed this target rash.
Mm-hmm.
But it had several rings to it, and the furthest diameter of the outer ring was probably 12 inches.
Yes.
We took it to the pediatrician, of course, and he called in every student in the in Ochsner Clinic to come and see it because he said, you won't see many of these. And they took photographs of it and put it in the journals. With kid, my daughter, that she had a naked butt in a magazine. Anyway, I just wanted to comment on that. That you said it can get to be 2 or 3 inches. That it can get
Much bigger than that.
Yeah, I mean, it was all over a hip and spreading out, down a leg by the time thing was under control.
Erythema chronicum migrans.
I beg your pardon?
Erythema chronicum migrans is, I believe, what they call that.
It was a very strange thing.
Did they determine what it was that she was bitten by?
They just said a tick.
Okay.
They didn't seem to know exactly what it was. They just, as I say, this was 30-plus years ago.
She's
36 now.
And I think, yeah, Lyme disease is, well, I'm sure it's not newer than that, but I think it's been reported much more. Maybe it was reported about that time. And certainly it was first reported out of Connecticut. And I think certainly the doctors in New Orleans would have said, well, yeah, I've read about this stuff, but it doesn't happen.
They did not know. The name Lyme disease was never mentioned.
Yeah, and I'm sure in New Orleans they don't think about that far south. They don't think about it because that's not Lyme disease country.
Apparently not, but she got it. I mean, she had this classic target. I mean, it was the most amazing thing. It was really strange.
And what happened to her?
Oh, they gave her whatever they give. Whatever they gave in those days for it, I guess it was some sort of antibiotic. I don't need.
Okay.
But it cleared up, and she's fine.
She did fine.
Yeah. She didn't never develop any
arthritis or,
And
most people, whether you treat it or not, if you don't treat the rash, it goes away, but the disease can progress. But again, I do advise treatment for it if it's diagnosed, but for the most part, it's going to go away and none of the bad things are going to follow anyway. But give yourself a little insurance. If you think you got Lyme disease or have this funny rash, go see the doctor, because the treatment is very effective and very inexpensive.
Yeah, in those days, medicine was pretty inexpensive anyway.
Yeah. Well, we're still talking about amoxicillin, so we're still talking about a $10 or $15 treatment course.
Yeah, yeah. When we first came to this country in 66, it was right when she was born, we had to, because her mother was already pregnant, she was not covered by any insurance, so we had to pay for the birth. And I remember the doctor's fee for the prenatal and the birth was $250. And for about a 3-day stay in the hospital for both my daughter and my wife, it was like $300 or $400.
It's gone up a mite, hasn't it?
Yeah,
that's what I've heard. Yeah, fortunately. Yeah. I'm not planning to have any more kids.
Okay, I think it's gone up by like a factor of 40 or something like that now.
At least, yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
We'll go on here to, we'll talk with somebody in Champaign next, line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to comment on the deer ticks. I walked a dog in Meadowbrook, and I found a tick on her, and it was identified as a deer tick. So there are deer ticks here.
Yeah, there are deer ticks here. I'm not sure that the deer ticks. I think our deer ticks here are not likely to be infected with the virus that causes Lyme disease. I think that's the difference down here. So we're relatively safe from Lyme disease in Central Illinois, but there's still deer ticks. Yes.
Okay, I disagree, and I think there's someone at Extension Services who is logging deer ticks with Lyme.
I think last year we talked about this too, and apparently the disease is migrating down here.
Right.
That our deer ticks are getting infected, but I think we're still at less risk than Wisconsin. But I think the prevention of deer ticks also prevents mosquito. I mean, yeah, use of an insect repellent will help against deer ticks and will also help against mosquitoes. But with deer ticks, you probably are best off with the added things of using the clothing barriers, the clothing repellents, if you will. Tuck your pant legs into your socks, wear long pants, maybe wear long sleeves, and do check yourself afterwards for deer ticks. How big did this tick get on your dog?
It was very small.
Yeah.
And my vet decided that it was cheaper to go ahead and treat the dog with antibiotics.
Yeah.
Test for Lyme. So
and do you remember what antibiotic was used?
On the dog, no.
Yeah. Again, you know, the treatment for Lyme disease is very is inexpensive.
Yeah.
And very safe. And, yeah, we we are at risk for it, but I think we're still in a low risk area compared to Wisconsin.
Right.
But it's migrating this way.
All right. Well, thank you for the call. Obviously, it's something you would be advised to take precautions and limit your exposure to. It's just generally a good thing. Probably you want to limit your exposure to mosquitoes, because being bitten by mosquitoes is no great treat, and ticks as well. So if you're going to be out there, you're going to be in a woody area or a grassy area where you're possibly going to be out in there. Well, probably just want to take that into consideration.
And if you find a tick, remove it. And the best way to remove a tick is you just grab its body and you gently pull. Fingernail polish doesn't help. Burning them with a cigarette really doesn't help. Just grab it and pull. And then I don't think if you removed a tick, I don't think you need to rush to the doctor. But I think, watch for symptoms. Watch for the rash around the tick bite and check the scalp. There's an interesting disease. There's a tick bite paralysis. And usually these are tick bites on the scalp. And these people get paralyzed. They really lose muscle function and get paralyzed. And the treatment of it is remove the head of the tick that's still in the skin of the scalp. And that's the other thing when you remove a tick. Gentle traction, and you want to get don't pull the body off. Get the whole thing out. Get the head out.
You don't want to leave any pieces in there.
And you'll probably see a little bit of the epidermis attached to the head of the tick, because he's busy feeding and he doesn't like too much, and they're attached quite tightly, and I expect they don't like having their tail pulled either. Deer ticks are quite small, but my understanding are they've been described as the size of a period in a newspaper, so it takes quite close inspection to find the things.
Okay. Well, again, other questions are welcome here. We're talking about children's health, something we do every month with pediatrician Dr. Robert Bocek, 333-9455, and toll-free 800-222-9455. You got a question, you can give us a call.
But we seem to be in a time of where everybody lives in fear of Lyme disease or osteoporosis or this and that. And, birth, death, and taxes are sure. And illness precedes, so I think we can do our best to eat healthy, to exercise our bodies, exercise our minds, but I don't think we need, I don't think our life should be revolve around fear of whatever. I think we need to go on, and sometimes bad things happen, most of the time won't happen, and so it's a great life and a great world. Enjoy it.
All right. Let's talk to somebody in Danville. It's a great town. Line number 4. Hello.
Hello. I was wondering if you could recommend a general purpose salve or ointment to keep in the medicine cabinet for abrasions and scratches and so on.
Soap and water. Seriously, soap and water and a Band-Aid. You can use the Neosporins and those things you see so much advertised, but generally I haven't seen any articles that really substantiate what they say about, it'll heal faster. And the other problem you get into with some of the topical antibiotics that are available over the counter is some people will be sensitive to them, so they'll get a rash. So I think generally probably the best thing to do is soap and water, clean it, and put a Band-Aid over it.
Well, I would, of course, a dry Band-Aid sticks to things, and I generally don't like to use any kind of antibiotic, but I remember a dark salve, iodoform or something like that, that my mother used to use. So I was thinking in terms of something like that, that you could put on the bandage and it would, keep the area clean and be able to remove the bandage.
I don't think I'd use that bottle of Vaseline that's been sitting on the shelf for Lord knows how long, because it may be contaminated with something. But But generally, most of the Band-Aids they make now are, you know, you look for a Telfa Band-Aid because there's a lot of non-stick Band-Aids out there now, too. And, you know, I'm with you. Yeah, you're a little bit nervous about antibiotics, excessive use of them, and I think there's good basis for that. And I think I'd go with I think what I'd do is go with a non-stick Band-Aid. You know, look for Telfa or for them to advertise non-stick.
Well, this is an area that needs a 4x4 gauze.
Okay. Yeah, you can still buy Telfa in a, well, actually, Telfa doesn't come in a 4x4. It comes in a 2x3 or it comes in, yeah, unusual size. But you can still buy the Telfa, yeah, the pad, the gauze, the 4x4 gauze pad, except it's not 4x4, it's a little different size, and then wrap that in, put that over the wound, and then wrap that with gauze or an elastic bandage or something like that to keep that in place, and that should minimize sticking. And then the other thing, yeah, when you take it off, if it does want to stick a little bit, you can kind of pull it gently and kind of pull it sideways so it's going back across itself instead of just pulling it straight off, and that seems to eliminate sticking. Because most wounds will exude a serous type of drainage, which tends to moisturize the thing, so they don't stick so much. But again, if you use a Telfa by brand name or a similar type of product, I think you'll minimize sticking that way, and I think it'll come off better, you know, without pain. And I think that's the way I'd go and probably avoid the use of the antibiotic creams that you see advertised on TV. There is iodoform. There are petrolatum or Vaseline impregnated gauze that's mainly used on burns. But generally, I think you're just as well off with a non-stick type of Band-Aid. Telfa is one of the brand names. And yeah, the evidence seems to be that covering them, you know, we've kind of vacillated back and forth. Do you keep it covered? Do you keep it uncovered? Does air need to get at it so it dries up? Will that heal faster? And the evidence seems to be that no, covering a wound is a better way to go. It does keep it moist, and fibroblasts, or the healing cells, tend to swim. So they don't cross a dry wound. They cross a moist wound a little bit better than a dry wound. So I think I would keep it covered and use some kind of non-stick bandage would be my recommendation.
All right, thank you. So what the bandage is there for is to keep the area from being further damaged for dirt and contaminants to get in there. And so forth, but then you also don't want it covered so tightly. The idea is that it should sort of stay protected, but stay moist.
A little moist, yeah. Not wet, but damp, and just sort of the natural secretions from the skin, the serous drainage from the wound, and a little bit of sweat and that sort of stuff, and then change the bandage once a day and the wound should heal fine.
And as far as initial cleaning of the wound, you would say
Soap and water
is probably just as good as anything else.
That's what the emergency rooms do. They'll wash it out well with water and hexachlorophene soap or something.
No. Okay. I think we got somebody else getting lined up here. We've got about 10 minutes left. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Talking about children's health, Dr. Robert Bocek is here. He's with us once a month. It's always on a Thursday. We have another caller here in line in Champaign. It's line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. I just wanted to add to the previous caller's conversation and recommend Desitin for basic cuts. I don't know if you've ever tried that or heard of it. But
just on diaper rashes,
Right. Well, it turns out to be a great healer for cuts, and I discovered it doing basic nursing care in West Africa in the rainforest where there are lots of microbes and cuts get infected really easily. And doing basic nursing care in villages where there was no sort of ordinary medical facilities, we managed to forestall gangrenous cases with Desitin. It was quite amazing.
Wow. I wonder if the Desitin company knows about that because they certainly be a marketable thing.
I know. I thought of that myself, and after we got back from our first stint doing this work, I wrote them a letter telling them, and they wrote back a polite thing saying, we don't know anything about it. As far as we know, it's just for diaper rash. So they weren't interested for some reason. But I have like 2 years of, you know, amazing cases to back it up.
It's a very thick white ointment.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's the zinc oxide.
Yeah.
It has zinc in it.
And certainly we know that zinc is healthy for, skin needs zinc, and zinc seems to be helpful in wound healing, and maybe that must be how it works. Because
so I just thought I'd share that with listeners who like the previous one and like me don't like to use antibiotics more than we need to.
And again, if you're going to use Desitin, I can't think of any reason not to use it. I probably would have a tube that I've reserved for wound treatment.
Yeah.
So I don't contaminate, so I haven't wiped it, rubbed it on my child's anus, buttocks, and then contaminated the tube with it.
Exactly. Thanks.
Well, thank you.
For the call. Well, so you can try that, and it ain't going to hurt you any.
I can't think of any reason not to try it.
All right. Very good. To another caller here, this is Champagne, and it's line number two. Hello.
I have a question about skin rashes. I have a teenage daughter who got a rash on her abdomen, which got, she scratched it. It got open. There was confirmed staph in it. And then later she got a rash over maybe three-quarters of her body, largely on the face, arms, neck, chest. We've seen several doctors. They suggested perhaps it was a metal allergy, and she was on some steroid cream, and she was on an antibiotic. But it went away, but then like 3 weeks later it came back. And I guess I've been advised that, some people just have skin problems. But I'm wondering about testing to see if she does have a specific allergy or somehow getting at the bottom of this. So if you can talk about skin rashes that seem to come back. And she's never had anything previous to this.
Wow. When's Dr. Tice going to be on, or Dr. Ferguson?
She was just here.
Okay. Metal rashes. You know, I doubt that because usually, we will see people who seem to have allergies to metals. And usually what you see is a nice, well-circumscribed rash right under the belt buckle or right under the snap of the belt. Uh-huh. Or if they wear a necklace, we'll see it, right in the center of the sternum where the necklace seems to lie. Or we'll see it under the, where the watch is and that sort of stuff.
But it's kind of contained.
It's very well contained. And it's just a very wonderful silhouette of, whatever is causing it. So I doubt that it's a metal allergy. Is it a summertime rash, a wintertime rash?
This started in January and maybe subsided in April and then came back full-blown in May.
Came back. Wow.
And she didn't even have acne before to speak of. And it's like they're big bumps, like maybe poison ivy looking, and they itch. It's not poison ivy, but it's not a fine rash. They're big.
Okay. They're raised up sort of like a big mosquito bite?
Well, not that big, but it's, her skin's hard. It's a hard rash. Her skin feels extremely dry to me when I was putting the steroid cream on.
Have you seen a dermatologist?
Yes.
Wow. Those dermatologists have come up with things that I've had no idea of.
Well, we'll
see. Has anybody talked urticaria or hives?
No.
Has anybody tried a systemic medicine like Benadryl, like an antihistamine, like an oral antihistamine?
No, we haven't tried that. We had antibiotic and then the steroid creams and various creams before we went all the way to the steroids.
And this is all over her body.
Well, there were areas that weren't covered, but like I say, 2/3, 3/4.
Okay. And it comes and goes, or it stays?
Well, it came and stayed and went away for maybe 3 weeks, and then it's come back, and she's been struggling with it for a month.
But if it comes on a spot, is that spot going to stay, or
is that? It's going to stay, yeah.
Okay, it's not going to be gone tomorrow and in a different spot. It's not going to migrate around that way.
Yeah, it's going to be there for several, we've been with it for a month now for the latest outbreak. So I was just wondering about allergy testing, but sounds like that doesn't come to mind as a thing.
Yeah, generally, allergy testing for skin allergy, you know, it's more used for respiratory allergies than skin allergies.
Okay.
And if you're talking metal allergy, that's a different kind of immune response than pollen allergies and that sort of thing. They can be tested, but it's much more difficult.
Is it? Okay.
What you need to do is take, if you think somebody's allergic to copper, you take a piece of copper and you tape it on their skin and you leave it there for a couple of days, and then you take it off and you see if they got a rash.
I see.
And that's, that's the allergy testing for metals. You take the various metals and you tape them on the skin and see what happens underneath. So I'm afraid.
Well, we were supposed to see the dermatologist for a follow-up like 3 months. I'm sure he thought that she'd be fine, but it's come back again.
She was, and then it came back. Yeah.
So we will see him in a few weeks, and
okay,
we'll go from there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I can't help
more. Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. We'll go to see one more caller at least here, Urbana, line one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. I would like to share my skin home remedy. I grow aloe vera in the house.
Okay.
And I had multiple, probably spider bites when I woke up this morning. And like you said, soap and water, dry well, break off a part of your aloe vera plant and spread it on. It was cleared up in an hour.
Okay.
Now, just I know the time's short. I'll let you go with that.
Okay.
Yeah. We used to have a dermatologist at the clinic who yelled about aloe vera possibly being a sensitizing agent, possibly causing allergies. So I am not against aloe vera, and I've heard glorious reports about it, and it is, I've tried it myself, it is kind of soothing, but it's a I suppose throw it in the medication, it can cause problems in rare individuals too, so yeah, I can't, go ahead and try it, it's cool, okay. But if it causes problems, maybe it's the aloe vera too.
Okay. Well, I know it is one of those things. I think the thing that I'd heard was that it was, some people felt that it was very good as a treatment for a burn.
Yeah.
And if you manage to get right away, you go over to the plant, you break off a little bit of the leaf, and it has a kind of a lotiony kind of stuff inside. And if you smear that on the burn, it's supposed to help. And I have no personal experience, so I don't know.
And I'm not sure I'm a believer in that, because if you've done thermal injury to the skin, I'm not sure that aloe vera, I think it can be soothing, but I'm not sure it's going to undo. Yeah, 3 millimeters of thermal destruction to the skin or whatever.
What do you think about, we've been talking about various sorts of kind of summer-related things, and we've been getting into skin here. What's the standard advice for if you've gotten into one of the poison plants, like, poison ivy, poison oak, whatever?
Soap and water. Wash it as soon as you can. Get that stuff off the skin. Poison ivy, poison oak. Poison oak, my understanding is you're not likely to see that around here because it likes swamps. It's a more southern thing. But whether it's poison ivy or poison oak doesn't make any difference to my eye as a physician. They look the same, and they probably deserve systemic steroids, prednisone by mouth. But, topical treatment may or may not do it. So, the over-the-counter hydrocortisone you can get. And you can try, but if it gets worse, go to the doctor, because steroids can be, oral steroids, prednisone can be bring a lot of relief very fast.
I guess the one thing you really got to be conscious of is the stuff that causes the reaction. If you get it on one place, you can move it around. So you don't want to touch that and then touch someplace else, because you could very easily enlarge the problem that way.
Or if your pet rolls in it, they will have the stuff on their fur, so you pet them and you can get it. And some people aren't sensitive to it, but 60% of the people are. I think the worst I saw was when I was in the Navy. These kids burned it in a campfire. It was a vine on the logs, and they burned it in the campfire.
And they actually breathed it.
Yeah, they didn't have pulmonary problems, but boy, I had 6 kids with swollen faces. And Monday morning, and their eyes nearly swollen shut, and they did fine, but it's,
I'm sure they were real uncomfortable for a while. Well, I guess we're just about the point we're going to close up here. Any last thing you'd like to leave with us?
And the other thing is, I think poison ivy is terribly hard to identify and recognize. It's what, leaves of 3 with a tooth, and there's a whole lot of leaves of 3. And it can grow as a kind of a ground cover. It can grow as a vine and climb up trees. It can grow in all kinds of different forms, so,
Well, I remember there were pictures in my Boy Scout manual But I'm not even sure then I could have told you. Yeah. Right now, I'm certainly not sure that I could. I would know it if I saw it.
And again, I suppose if you're in the woods, you know, long pants tucked into your socks and long sleeves will minimize your risk of deer ticks and also minimize your risk of poison ivy.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome. My pleasure.
Dr. Robert Bocek, he's a pediatrician. He's with us once a month on the show. It's always a Thursday, and we talk about children's health.